And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gamblin with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
My goodness gracious. Now, good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard the John Gamblin Show, Friday edition with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We are live this morning from the Diker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures here at the National Museum of American Indian here in New York. Mr. Mayor, was that for the mayor or was that for me? Ah, see? Oh, my goodness. And they call themselves fans.
Well, they were all my relatives. I brought them in.
Well, nice to see you this morning. Well, nice to be down
to be
here.
This is a wonderful museum.
It really is.
And easy to
museum.
Get to. Bowling Green Station on the Lex. You get right off literally across the street.
It's a freebie, too. It's open every day, and it's absolutely free.
The subway's not, but the museum is.
Exactly so.
Subway's open every day as well.
So we are happy to be here. We'll be talking a little bit more about this because it is a very, very special place. Lots of things to talk to you about, as always, on our Friday get-together. You have brought one of your colleagues with you today to make an announcement, and she's got a handful of checks.
I said to your audience that they should be nice to Martha Stark because she runs our Department of Finance and they collect taxes. I've always been looking for a little break on mine, but somehow or other it never shows.
Martha personally.
She has the problem of being scrupulously honest. I don't know how you deal with that. Yes, Martha is here because we are sending out rebate checks of $400 to... They don't applaud when you send out the bills.
No, but they applaud when you send them back money.
Absolutely, and it's Martha's name on the check. So when you get your check and it says Martha Stark, send her an email, say thank you. You want to talk about it?
I'm sure. I just want to say we're sending out about 205,000 checks. They are totaling 605,000 checks totaling $242 million. They went into mail on Wednesday, and so those people who own 1, 2, 3 family homes, co-ops, and condos should be looking for them. They will be hitting your mailboxes, some as early as today, but definitely over the weekend and over the next 10 days or so. So I'm very excited about this, Mr. Mayor. This is thanks to your leadership and great support from the City Council as well. We're able to do 3 years, $400 each of those years, really thanking people for their sacrifice post 9/11. And we're really, really pleased to do this. As the mayor said, the Department of Finance is always sending bills. So this is truly a great day for me to be able to send you money back. So I'm very excited about it and really want to thank my team who were able to get these checks issued. And we want to make sure we have them to you in the right name at the right address. And we're pretty certain we've done
that. Martha, if we get to middle of next week and we think we should have gotten a check and didn't, what do we do? Call 311?
Call your favorite telephone number. Absolutely. 311, and we'll be able to look up your check and see, make sure that it went to the right address. So that's exactly what you should do. Dial 311, and they have all the information.
Mr. Mayor, I've asked you this each year that these rebate checks have gone out. Why are you doing it? Why are you sending money back, and what is this to do and equalize?
It has to do with the fact that the city, under state law, only has the authority to raise or lower property taxes equally for all four classes. A class is commercial buildings or big apartment buildings, which are owned for-profit buildings, or single-family, two-family houses, or co-ops and condominiums. And the truth of the matter is, when the city needed more money, we did raise taxes, but we wanted to shift the burden around a little bit. The value of commercial properties or for-profit buildings has gone up, roughly doubled in the last 4 years, because we took the money and invested it in lower crime, more cops, better schools, more and better paid teachers, all of the things, cultural institutions, that raise property values. Now, if you're a homeowner, it's nice to have the value of your home go up, but if you're not selling and if you're a dealer, it doesn't help you. As a matter of fact, it hurts you a little bit because the assessment goes up. Cost you more money. So it was a ways to sort of shift the burden to those who were going to benefit in the short term the most. And the only ways we could do it was by raising everybody's taxes and then getting the state legislature to give us the authority to reduce the taxes for these two classes by sending out checks. And the state legislature and the governor deserve credit, both the Senate and the Assembly and the governor, for passing the legislation we needed 3 years ago and the governor signing it. And now we've got to go back to them for anything else, and we're talking to them already.
All right. Well, Martha, you better get back to signing checks.
Absolutely, will do. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming down. I appreciate that, Martha. Martha Stark, Commissioner of Finance here in the City of New York. That is as big a job as there is after you, isn't it?
Yeah, Martha, before you run out, how many people work for the Department of Finance?
2,500. Wow.
Well, because, you know, it's a lot of they collect $30 billion a year. 35?
Wow, that's big money.
It's enormous money, and lots of people. We have 8.1 million people that live here, and it's complex. There's when you have such a diverse community with so many different kinds of buildings and different exemptions, and there are different classes of property. How do you deal with overseas investors and overseas embassies and charitable organizations in the city?
Would Martha be involved in the investment of the dollars that come in? On a regular basis.
She is on the committee. You're on. Yeah,
all the pension funds.
Yeah, I've reclused myself from any of the investment side because most of the, all the people that manage money are also clients of my company. So I said, and I don't know that much about managing money either. That's not my expertise. So we let Martha Stark and some very competent people. And
obviously,
done a good
he
job.
Knows a few people that do know how to invest.
Well, that's okay. You got to know what you're good at. You know?
Let me take a break right now. Michael Bloomberg, John Gambling, and you live from the Diker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures here at the National Museum of the American Indian, which, by the way, is part of the Smithsonian Institution, which I was not aware of before today. And we will be right back. Well, as you can hear, we are back live from the Diker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures here at the National Museum of the American Indian in New York. We're at One Bowling Green, easy to get to, and this museum is open all the time. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on in the program. We are here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and a bunch of friends as well. I don't get down to Lower Manhattan very often, like I have today, and you and I talk about it on a regular basis for the obvious reasons about redevelopment. What's your vision for it, and where does Governor's Island and Brooklyn and all of that fit into the Lower Manhattan redevelopment after 9/11?
Well, they're all interconnected. You can see them, although some of these distances are deceiving because they're really individual communities. New York is a city of 8.1 million people and five boroughs, but it's 300 or 400 different communities. Each one has their own character and their own pace of living and their own problems. When you do town meetings, it's fascinating. In one community, they talk about exactly the reverse. One exactly
and they can
the
be literally one street apart.
Yeah, it's downtown is becoming a big residential community, which is what it was, remember, when New York was founded. But right across the street from here is Battery Park City and Battery Park, which is spectacular. I don't know if anybody's walked through there recently, anybody in the audience, but they've redone the park, and it's just unbelievable, the vegetation and the statues and the history and all the exciting things going on. Battery Park City is this enormous development which was built on land that was dug up when they built the World Trade Center towers originally, and that's got lots of restaurants and more stores. And when we get these other buildings built as part of the World Trade Center site itself, that will have a lot more commercial in it. In this day and age, what you want to do is you want to have residential and commercial mixed together. That's what makes it successful. A lot of people want to be able to walk to work, but people that work want to be able to go outside and find a cab at night. They want to be able to go to a good restaurant afterwards or at lunchtime. They want to stop for drinks with friends at a bar afterwards. They want something that's exciting. That's why a lot of companies have always moved to Midtown, because of everything else that's going on there. So if you have a mixed-use community down here, which is exactly what's happening, The future of downtown Manhattan really is quite exciting.
Is it to the level that you think it should be, even in the planning stage, or are there other things that are going to be necessary?
Well, you know, we've done a lot. The governor I've defended a number of times. I've said, you know, building on the World Trade Center site is very complex because you have the Port Authority and the MTA and the state and the city and lots of other interests. Larry Silverstein, who has some rights, and the insurance companies who have to come up with lots of money. So it is complex. But that's finally going. You know, would I've liked to have got it done earlier? Yeah, would the governor have liked to have got it done earlier? I'm sure. But the issue down the road is, did we do it right, not did we do it a few years more or less?
What about Governor's Island?
Anyways, and the rest of downtown, whether it's parks or everything else, is really working. Governor's Island, it's a phenomenal piece of property. It's just off the southern tip of Manhattan. It was, until a few years ago, the longest-serving Coast Guard base, I think, in the history of the country. It has two forts on it, which they used to have cannons to defend against the British if they ever attacked again.
In the good old days.
In the good old days. It had a golf course, actually. The Coast Guard had one around one of the forts, and if you look at it from the air, you can still see where the sand traps used to be. It has a school. It has a fully manned firehouse. Nobody goes to the school anymore. It has, but there's a fully manned firehouse to protect
the operational.
Buildings. Absolutely, 24 hours a day, because if there was a fire, it would take a long time to get something there. There's a bowling alley. There's lots of housing. At one point, 8,000 or 9,000 people lived on Governor's Island. The question is, what do you do with it? It's got great views. It has protection, safety. But the other ways to look at it is it's a little bit of ways, because you're looking at one of the views, and that protection of distance makes it hard to get to. It's in the middle of the harbor, which is great. Of course, in the winter, there's a breeze.
Nice. Just a little bit.
Phrase it.
There's a breeze.
If you look at the island, there's an old part and a new part. The old part was the real island. The new part to the south is all of the rock that they dug up when they built the subways. That's where they put it, to the south of the island, and extended the island south. And there's one building that goes virtually all the way across the island, and it was built supposedly to prevent them from ever putting an airport there, because there was an airport. I think the Wright brothers might have actually flown out of there. When the airplanes, and there's a monument right in the middle of the island with a propeller on it, there was planes taking off and landing. How big it was and whether that's true about the building, I don't know. Some phenomenal old buildings there.
But there are no plans. There are no hard plans.
We've asked for RFPs. Some people say gambling would be great there. A lot of people against gambling, and I don't know that you'd live long enough to get it through the state legislature. There are people that say, well, let's do an amusement park, but we have some restrictions with the federal government. And while it's great land, it is always going to be a little bit hard to get to, so that probably wouldn't work. Convention center. This is New York. We have hotels. We have restaurants. You know, it's very different. Things that you might want in other cities, you don't necessarily need.
So nobody's come up with a good idea yet.
That we are working on a couple of things that might make some sense. I mean, I have some hopes that we're getting closer to coming up with something. But you want something that takes advantage of the fact that it's a little bit difficult to get there, but it is close to New York. You want it, a school, for example, would be. People want schools separated. Everybody suggested a college because you'd have great safety. Nobody can get there. Except this is New York. The city's safe. We don't need safety. The real reason people come to colleges and universities in New York is to be part of the city. You know, Columbia and NYU,
stuck out there.
Fordham, these are in the middle of the city, and you want to reach out, not to be. So it's very complex, but it's a great piece of property. And it's right across from Brooklyn, and the part of Brooklyn that's growing the most. We have this new cruise ship terminal where the QM2 and the QE2 now dock and other big ships. You're down in an area, there's a new supermarket over there that's a very upscale supermarket located in the Upper West Side. They just opened a branch there. It's doing phenomenally well.
And it portends great things for Brooklyn in the waterfront.
When you ask people, you know, what are the hot new restaurants, half the time you get an answer, Brooklyn. And it's not just the one area. It's lots of different areas throughout Brooklyn. Red Hook is sort of, I think, the next Greenwich Village. Artists moving in there. You're looking out over the harbor. These old, there used to be a trolley down there, and they still have the tracks. Somebody tried to get the trolley going a few years ago. I don't know what happened to that. There are old warehouses that you can convert into apartments. It's the city is changing. This city this decade will add more people to its population than live in Pittsburgh.
That's why you've got to keep building new buildings.
Well, that's why our infrastructure is always taxed. There's never enough of this, that, and the other thing. But in some senses, those are nice problems. Other cities would love to have it. But people are moving here because it's safe and clean and exciting.
Speaking of downtown, and then we're going to take a break and come back and talk about some other things. But I read a story the other day that the city has engaged consultants about the financial service sector, which, of course, we are famed for and is the core, one of the core businesses, to London. Is there an issue going on here?
I don't think it's just London. I've said for a long time since I came into office, we are engaged in a competition with great cities around the world. London's a great city, but there are other great cities. In a day when communications is so good, you don't have to be located in one place. When transportation is so good, you can get any place reasonably quickly. Companies and schools and scientists and all stores, they all have lots of alternatives. And our alternatives are not just in the United States. The alternatives are around the world. So we have to do the things to make people want to stay here. We can't force them. What do? You keep bringing crime down. Crime keeps coming down in New York City this year. Sadly, it's going up in the country at the moment, but it continues to come down in New York City. You improve the school system because that's the workforce and the voters of the future. Help the cultural institutions and the parks. And you make the city clean. You make it people want to live here, and then companies will follow and want to be here. But London's trying to do exactly the same
and
thing.
And so is every other city.
Yeah, I mean, you go to a city like Berlin at 3 in the morning. Things are going on in Berlin. It's a great, exciting city. That's another alternative for people to go to. Paris is a great city. I had the mayor of Rome at City Hall yesterday, Walter Veltroni, who's a great guy. And Rome is a wonderful city. You know, in Asia, Tokyo, Singapore, Shanghai, Beijing, Saigon. I mean, these are cities that in this day and age are real competition for New York, Sydney. I don't want to leave anybody out, but they're just cities all over the world. You go to the birthplace of democracy, Athens, and then Jerusalem. These cities are unbelievable. And if you look at the countries, the Emirates, they're trying to build whole new cities out in the desert.
Have you seen Dubai? I mean, it'll just knock your socks off.
What we've got to do is make sure that we make this city as attractive as possible for people to live here. And we've hired this consultant to see if we're missing anything for financial services, because that's one of the big industries here. Diplomacy is a very big industry here. We liked having all the diplomats here. They tie up traffic when the UN has the General Assembly, but they can create a lot of jobs. We don't have all the ideas, so we've hired this outside firm to see if we're missing.
All right, we're going to take our break on the half hour here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling from the Diker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures. Who let all these people in my room? Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the John Gambling Show, Friday edition. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. This morning we're brought to you by the Museums of Lower Manhattan, located south of Houston Street. 15 experiences, unique they are, with 1,000 unforgettable stories. You can visit museumsoflowermanhattan.org, and you get a 2-for-1 admission coupons and special offers as well. Also, always little nuggets in New York City that a lot of people aren't aware of, opportunities such as this Diker Pavilion.
Right, we talk about the big museum. And they clearly are the economic engines that bring the 42.7 million visitors that we had last year from around the world. But there are museums in every neighborhood, in every borough, and there are museums from virtually every culture, and performing arts and visual arts centers. So, you know, there's an awful lot to do, and we've tried, our tourism efforts have been, if you come here, to make sure you know where to go. You just go across the river in every direction, and there's great place.
An amazing place. You have cured New York and much of the world of smoking. Now you and your health commissioner, yes, some supporters of that idea.
Now, not everybody was applauding, and we're getting your names.
But. Tom Frieden, who I talked with earlier in the week, and under your direction, wants to do with the trans fats. You've got everybody worried their donuts are going away.
Look, number one, this is an ingredient. This is not a product. 15, 20 years ago, trans fats didn't exist. It was 15 or 20 years ago, science discovered how to make oil last a little while longer by hydrogenating it. And it turns out that, you know, we find out now that these are the worst oils for your heart that you could possibly, that exist. And it's relatively easy to get rid of them. Think of it as taking lead out of paint. You can still have as much paint as you want. You can do whatever you want with it. You can have it in any color you want. But the lead out will save kids' lives because the fact of the matter is kids chew on, you know, wood and there's paint in it or flecks come down. If you take a look at trans fats, most of the companies, are a large number of them, that make products you buy in the supermarket have already taken trans fats out of their products over the last few years. Because once the government insisted that they list trans fats on the label, they said, oops, and they've removed them. I think something like 25% of all the restaurants in New York City have already stopped using them. It requires a little bit of extra work. It's a little bit of a pain for something, but it doesn't take away your ability to have McDonald's fries or, you know, which I love, or popcorn or anything you want. And it's just, you know, it doesn't make everything better, but it's one of those things that if we did it, we would help. The estimates are you save 500 lives from heart attacks every year in New York City. It will help us in our battle to combat obesity, which is a very big problem, particularly for communities that, you know, don't have the knowledge of what's good and how to eat safely. For kids, we have a big obesity problem in the schools. Everybody says, oh, yes, yes, we have a big problem. Let's do something about it. And then, of course, whatever you try to do about it, they say, oh, not that thing. Well, you know,
How do you enforce this?
The health department, if they go ahead and they're going to do public hearings and study, in theory they can mandate what you can do and what you can't do with food. But, you know, there are going to be different rules. Some products, if you can't have them without trans fats, you just leave them. That's the way it is. But if there's a good substitute, I think you're going to find most restaurants and stores wanting to change simply because if people are aware of this, they're going to try it. A lot of, not everybody, but a very large percentage of people will want to eat healthy. And so it'll be good economics to do what's healthy. Nobody's banning your right to eat anything you want or to make it any way you want.
Well, some people are concerned that this is just another example of sliding down the slippery slope here of
government.
Well,
no matter what government does, you can say that. But nobody seriously thinks we shouldn't have a speed limit. Nobody seriously thinks we shouldn't have laws against guns, which is one of the things we can talk about later. Nobody seriously thinks we shouldn't make sure that if you have asbestos in the workplace, nobody suggests you should just send people into work doing that. We should close that place down until they clean it up. So there's always that thing. But I think if you look through history, that's not true. There are more alternatives today for people than ever before. What is true is that life expectancy in New York City is now greater than it is for the United States as a whole. Think about that. People always talk about, oh, big cities, there's stress, there's pressure, there's the air, the water. I mean, there's all of this crime and all that sort of stuff. Statistically, if you live outside of New York and you want to live longer, move to New York.
There he goes.
That's what the numbers say.
You were talking about crime before and what other cities offer and what we have to do here in New York City to keep business and attract people to come here. New York Times article today that crime in the city is significantly down except gun arrests, crimes with guns involved. And I thought what was most disturbing was juvenile felony arrests.
Right. Well, look, the FBI numbers for 05, the final numbers for 05 are that there's 245 cities of 100,000 population or more. If you rank them highest crime per capita, the lowest crime, New York is 17th from the bottom. It says there are only 16 cities, which are all very small cities, that are safer than New York out of 245. It's really an amazing number. And this year, I think if the numbers end the way they are now, three quarters of the way through the year, we'll do even better because, sadly, crime has been going up throughout the country during 06. But the good news is, as the Times article pointed out, crime in New York City in 06 is down another 5%. for almost every crime. Murder, we are 6 murders worse than last year out of a base of 400, 500 plus.
It's extraordinary.
So, and my hope, actually, a lot of those, the only reason we have 6 more murders than last year is there were some people who were shot many years ago who died this year and they got reclassified this year. In terms of the, well, it's the way the numbers are kept.
I understand. Fair.
Whatever it is, it is. We're not trying to
rolled my eyes. It's unusual.
But the number of people that have been murdered this year is already down before. For last year, which was a record.
What about the juvenile arrests?
It is worrisome. We have these magnetometers. We move from school to school, and in the impact schools, we have them there all the time. The other day, we caught a kid trying to come into school with a loaded gun. I saw some pictures yesterday of brass knuckles and box cutters, and there are kids who really, you know, are emotionally disturbed, I think, is the only way to phrase it. Anybody who would want to do something like that really does need help. And if we don't help them now, that's you're going to have a real problem when they become adults. So it really is incumbent on all of us to reach out to these kids and make sure that they get the help they need. But the truth of the matter is that we have problems with youngsters. And in some boroughs, crime's up a touch. In some boroughs, crime's down. Overall, these things are going in the right direction. Overall, crime and disruptive behavior in school is down significantly. Do we have more work to do? We're always going to have more work to do. One crime is one crime too many. But we brought the number of murders in this city from 2,200 to last year, it was 530. You know, down by 75-80%. Well, we got to keep going. And kids are a very big worry. All the more reason why you got to focus on the schools. And Joel Klein, the chancellor, probably long-term has as much impact on crime as anybody. Ray Kelly, the police commissioner, and the 37,000 cops that we have who are worrying about intelligence and counterterrorism as well as the crime on the streets have done a spectacular job. But they need help from everybody else. They need help from the public. And the police department of tomorrow needs help from the schools of today.
You're absolutely right, because an educated population is going to be a population that functions a lot better. I was pleased to read in the paper today, and we've talked about this before, that there was a nightlife summit, if you will, concern over the West Side clubs and the like with city council members. There were people from the alcohol, tobacco,
yep,
and also the club owners and the police department as well, with some suggestions. Are you supportive of those?
Depends which ones, but the issues are the following. We like nightlife. I mean, after all, people go there. You can tell people like nightlife. These bars are all doing well. And we joked about the smoking ban, but after the smoking ban, people got used to it. Patronage of bars and restaurants in this city went up, and up significantly, not down, because a lot of people didn't want to go to a smoke-filled place. Now, those that smoke outside or are trying to stop. Those that didn't smoke are now more comfortable in going. So one of the plus is we want bars and restaurants and fun, people that want to dance and listen to music and have a great time. Nothing wrong with that. That's what makes New York, New York. On the other hand, you have a couple of the downside. Number one, if you lived in the neighborhood and you want to get a good night's sleep, you don't want those bars and restaurants to keep you up all night long. Number two, there is crowding on the streets if you're trying to walk down the street.
Underage kids drinking.
Three, there's underage kids, and that leads to tragedies. You see them every once in a while, a young kid. And you know, the bars and restaurants don't do a great job. Not all of them, but some of them don't do a great job at checking to make sure those IDs are legit. Listen, we don't do a good job in this country to make sure that green cards and Social Security cards are legit. So why do you expect the bars and restaurants to do a good job at a kid that, you know, says they're drinking age and they're not? And you can't look at somebody and, you know, some
and
of
make
us
a judgment because
people like you and me look younger than
absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely. I mean, we look like teenagers.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's that. There's crime. We've had problems with some bouncers. So there are problems to go along. There's no free lunch, and we've got to find some balance between protecting the public without destroying the things that are good about nightlife.
You're brave enough to take some questions from the audience here when we come back? We'll take a break?
Absolutely. But before I do, I just want to say two things. This is an interesting time of the year. Last Sunday started the 30-day month holiday for Muslims of Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak to them. And this is in the middle between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for Jews in the city and around the world. Shana Tova, Happy New Year to them.
And Yom Kippur is when Monday?
Yom Kippur is Monday. And then we're not very far away from the Christian most sacred holidays. So, you know, it's an interesting time. In New York, the diversity of New York, people here speak 170 different languages. You probably can't find a religion in the world that isn't practiced here, or a cuisine that you can't find, or a culture that you can't partake in. It's really
no need to leave home.
We are the world's second home. It's not true of every country, but almost every country. There are more people from that country that live here than live in the second biggest city in that country. And in some cases, more people here than in the country.
It's a frightening thought. Let me take a break. Let me make some money for the company. We'll come right back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. We continue here from the Diker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures in Lower Manhattan at the National Museum of American Indian in New York. John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Real fast here, I want to thank my friends at Flemington Car and Truck Country, your home for in-person pricing, more than 6,500 cars. Good folks down there helping us today. Also, today's Aetna, because the right information, you can make better health care decisions. Plans are offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and the folks supplying the bagels and the coffee and the orange juice. Pick a bagel, delicious bagels and the like. Thank you all very much for making it happen. Mr. Mayor, we have a lineup of people that have a question for you. What's your name?
Quick questions, quick answers.
Hi, Max.
Max, what's your question?
Hi, guys. Hi, John. Hi, Mayor Mike. I'm so glad to finally see you in person. Yeah, I've been listening to your show for a long time.
What's the question? Because we don't have a lot of time.
Well, I just want to ask the mayor. I'm a new New Yorker. I just moved into to Wall Street this past month. I'm very excited. I just registered to vote this last week. And I want to ask you how I can become more involved in local politics and city government.
Well, one of the things you can do if you want to volunteer, call 311. We'll get you to the mayor's volunteer group. And that's a good way to start. It'll introduce you to a lot of people, and they can help you. And then you can call elected politicians and say, I'd like to volunteer. Some interested, some don't. Thank you very much.
All right, Max. Thanks a lot. Next question, your name.
My name is Jordan.
Jordan, what's your question?
I wanted to ask the mayor. I go to University of Buffalo for the law school, and I hear you talking a lot about improving education here in the city. And I was wondering what the mayor was doing to improve or get a great standing law school here in the city at an affordable price.
Well, we have a lot of law schools, and some of them probably have the tuitions a lot more than others. Some of them have financial aid. I actually like Buffalo. You have a new mayor up there, and he's really a great guy, and he's done a good job in a very tough environment. But I think if you look, you'll find a lot of these law schools here have financial aid packages if you need. In city government, we have an enormous number of people who go to law school at night while holding a full-time job. My hat's off to them. I don't know how they do it.
I'm always.
And then they pass the bar on the
story.
First time. It's really amazing. Thank you.
It really is. Next question. We're almost out of time, so I just want to get one more question in if we can. Real fast. Good morning. Your name?
Good morning, Mayor Mike. My name is Michael Imperiali. I'm a candidate for the State Assembly in the 64th District. I'm running against Sheldon Silver.
You got a question?
I am a Democrat running on the Republican line. My question is, in reference to Gouverneur Hospital on the Lower East Side on Madison Street, it's on the verge of closing down. Is there anything that you or
don't know? I'll have to take a look at it. I don't know what they're doing. It's it's a very old, small hospital. Good luck in your campaign. But it's a very small hospital. I'll just have to take a look at it. I don't know anything about it.
It's the only hospital in the area. It needs
yeah,
to
no,
be
I understand. Well, there's downtown. But
I wanted to ask you because last Friday you talked about H.R. 5092, the gun bill, the House passed.
Senate stopped it. It can always come back when the Senate comes back in the session. This is a bill, believe it or not, the House passed a bill that if you lose your license as a gun dealer, you have 60 days to get rid of your inventory. That's like arresting a drug dealer and saying, but you got 60 days to sell the crack to kids in school. Only our House of Representatives could come up with something like that.
And it passed with surprising support.
This is a nonpartisan issue. It had support both sides of the aisle. Don't make any mistake about it.
It had to be a two-third vote, and they made their two-third vote on that one. Quite surprising indeed. You lost the Republicans to the Twin Cities for the convention.
Congratulations to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We don't like to lose at anything. This is a wonderful beautiful city, and we love big events.
Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you very much for coming down here to the Dyker Pavilion for Native Arts and Cultures. You're a good guy. You make the extra effort, and we appreciate it very much. We'll catch up with you next week. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, ladies and gentlemen, we've got lots more to go here at 77 WABC. Chris Wallace and more live from downtown. Stick around at 77 WABC.